Good morning. So you received your book, and you must be reading the book, and you must be wondering, like, this is amazing book. How can I talk about this book with other people, right? So on Tuesday at 6:30, we are meeting to study that book. And so here, I'm just going to pass this around. You can write down your name for book study, and also there is opportunity for you to bring dinner and cleanup and other wonderful opportunities provided there. So please write down your name. Even though you already given your name at other time, please put your name so that we know that you will be there. We started last week, and we had a wonderful time. Those who were there, we had a great time of fellowship and studying the scripture, and we talked about trusting God. So that is one thing I had in my mind to share with you. Yesterday and day before yesterday, so Friday and Saturday, from our church, John Braun, Alan Rowe, me, and Brother Seokyu Lee from Jesus Love Korean Church, we were in Sacramento, and we were talking about this book, Growing Young. Growing Young. And it is about how, as a church, it is about time that we start growing young. Amen? And so for the next year, our goal and our vision and our theme is going to be growing young. And so if somebody asks you, how are you and what's going on, what's your answer? I am growing young. Amen? I'm growing young. You're like, what do you mean you're growing young? Well, as a church, we have decided to grow young. Now, some of you must be wondering, like, do I have a place in this new idea of growing young? You know, I just saw Edith with her new grandbaby. Did you see that? And how involved she is. And also, did you see Tim walking around and jumping there? And how Tim is keeping grandparents very busy, right? So as we spend time with younger people, young adult and youth in our congregation, dear people of God, guess what? You will automatically grow younger. Your energy will be different. Our energy, not only your mind too. Our energy will be different. Our attitude is going to be different. Our vision is going to be different. The way we spend our time and resources are going to be different. Like, I do remember when we didn't have children, my wife and I talked about, like, what are we going to do, you know, this weekend? And it was always about ourselves. Like, hey, I was feeling like going there. I was feeling like going there now. But guess what? That has stopped almost 12 years ago. Now, when we think about weekend, well, what's going on in kids' life? You know, are they having something? Are there an event happening at school? Is somebody's birthday happening? Are we having any birthday and all that? And so the life has turned more toward the children, but also it has enriched significantly. And so, dear people of God, as we grow young in days and years to come, I think as a church, we will experience new energy and we will experience God's amazing, amazing grace in our lives in a church that we will become more and more contemporary, more and more relatable with the people and the culture. And to do that, we are going, as you know, that we are going for our all-church retreat in the month of November, 22nd to 24th. So 22nd is Friday evening, we go there. And we are going to Montitoyan, which is around like 40 miles from here near Aptos. So we will be there from Friday evening. We will be there on Saturday. We will also be there on Sunday. And so during that time, we are going to dive more into this book. And John, Braun, and I, and Alan, and Helen, you know, we will talk more about this book and some of the things we learned. And again, like, as a church, we will continue praying and visioning and how we can actually implement some of the things from this book and how, again, it will change the way we think and live and the way we connect with one another and the way we will connect with the younger people in our church. Amen? And so as a church, church members, be excited about this. And again, if somebody asks what's going on in your life, the answer is what? I'm growing young. And like, they're like, what are you talking about? That's weird. But like, yes, I'm growing young. So, last Sunday, we started a book series or sermon series on how to handle your finance. Is that the book series? All right. Something like that, right? So, we talked about trusting God. And I feel that last Sunday, maybe I did not communicate effectively one part. And as I was talking with John while coming back from a long drive, almost 3 hours drive, we had a great conversation. And we actually started to talk about trusting God, finance, and all that. And he brought one thing to my attention. And so I want to actually just add a little bit into what I said last time. And so trusting God doesn't mean that God asks us to be lazy. Amen? It doesn't mean that we sleep and not work and we believe that somehow from somewhere God is going to pour food around us. That's not what it means. Trusting God means that we believe that God will take care of us. At the same time, I have called to do something in this world. And some of us are called to be teachers. Some of us are called to be scientists. Some of us are called to be musicians. Some of us are called to be psychologists and counselors and pastors. And many, many, many various ways God has called us to serve this community around us. And so as we work, as we give ourselves into the work, we don't worry what's going to happen with finance, but we give ourselves and we do our best. And as we do our best, we actually enjoy our life. You know, one of the things Jesus actually tells in that particular narrative, that look at the birds in the sky. They don't work, or they don't really worry so much. But they, if you see them, like, they wake up early in the morning every day. And one of the things they disturb, right? Like if you wake up 4 or 3, the first thing you'll hear, the birds, you know, birds talking with one another. And so they are active in the early morning. They constantly fly here and there. In other words, as they collect their food, they are not worried, but they're having a great time. They're celebrating their life. And so when God says, or when I say that don't worry, trust in God, again, it doesn't mean that we don't work. It doesn't mean that God asks us to be lazy. No, no, no. Far from it. In fact, God asks us to be more diligent. One of the favorite book I read long time ago, as you know that I don't read that many books, but I hear a lot of conversation and I hear a lot of presentation of the people. But one of the book I read, the title is like, Protestant Ethics and Spirit of Capitalism. And it talks about that how the idea of Protestant ethics or theology has prompted this work ethic among the people. And so if you see generally the countries which are like first world countries, like usually America, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, England, Netherlands, Switzerland. So if you see, some of this country comes to our mind, right? Now, often these countries are actually very closely aligned with other countries. For an example, like America is closely aligned with Mexico. Or, Spain is actually in Europe. There are other countries nearby, Papua New Guinea, near Australia and all this. And so there are so many other countries. In fact, they have a similar climate. In so many ways, they are very similar, but if you see, their economy is drastically different. And so I think the guy named is Adam Smith in 19th century, he wrote this book, and basically his argument was, his idea was that this idea of Protestant ethic, and one of the idea within the Protestant ethic, which is the idea that God has created us in his image. And not only God has created in his image, but also God has a plan and purposes for our lives. And when you and I work, when we do our best, we don't actually serve
other people. We don't only serve the company where we are, but actually we are serving God by what we do. Amen? And so even though nobody's watching us, for an example, we still do the best. In other words, how our church life, how our theology, how our understanding of God has positive influence in the culture in which we have lived. The freedom of expression, the freedom of conversation, the freedom of choosing your leader is a very, very, very biblical idea. And if you see nearby countries, sometimes you don't see this as expanded as we actually see it in the scripture. And again, going back to trusting God. And so trusting God is an idea, that we do our best as people of God. And as we do our best, we don't worry about money, because as we do our best, as we give ourselves in the calling which God has given to us, God will take care of us. Money will just come in as we do our best. Amen? See, going back a little bit more into this, I come from India. And, you know, India brings a lot of strength. So don't misunderstand that I'm putting down India. But we also bring a lot of challenges. And same is America. All the countries, all the people, we have strength and our weaknesses. So there isn't like perfect people in the world, and there is not like totally worst people. No, there are, we are mixed people. We have strength and weaknesses and all that. And so when I was in India, if I give a shirt for, you know, tailor to, stitch this shirt, and if it is a checks or line, you know, when I get, I see that there is no proper lining. You know, it doesn't match with my wallet, because they're like, hey, I don't care. Like, you gave me, here is your shirt. I did my work, and go home and take it. Whereas in America or other places, I say, like, you know what? They take time to make sure that it matches. In other words, it is a very, very small detail, but they go extra mile, because remembering that, hey, this is not shirt for Rajiv. I am stitching it for God. I have to do my best, even in the smallest details. You know, previous night, we were staying at John's friend's place, and his name is also John. And so me and this John's friend, John, started to talk, and they have a beautiful house. And he was telling me about his house, and I saw the detail of the work, the woodwork he did. And I thought, like, he must have had many people work for him. And he said, no, Rajiv, I did this on my own. Like, he would go to work and come back in the evening, and then he will spend 6 hours working on those things. And it, like, extremely very, very clear-cut, minute details. All the lines were aligning with one another. And I realized it must be very, very hard work to do this. But again, as he's doing it, and I think coming from this Protestant ethics and this whole idea of serving God and all that, like, dude, nobody will ever see this again. But even though nobody's going to see this, I am going to do my best in this. Amen? And so again, so when I say trust God, it doesn't mean that God is going to just, you be lazy and everything is going to happen for you. No. God has a calling for us, dear people of God. And let us do our best in our calling so that God can pour out God's blessing on us. Amen? So if somebody didn't know this, please, hey, Rajiv, Pastor Rajiv had some more idea today. So let me tell you more about it. So today we are, today's sermon's title is Cultivating Contentment. Being thankful, being satisfied for what we have. Last time, if you remember, we talked about the book More or Less. Do you remember? And we came as a collectively group, with the idea that we have lots of stuff at home, and so much we have, and we don't even use those things. And so as a church, we decided to do free giveaway. And we did, and we had like almost 200 people walk in and out of this church. We collected plenty of stuff, and we gave away plenty of stuff. And still after that, I think Jim had to go to Goodwill to even give to them. the idea was like, God has blessed us so much, and it is time for us to cultivate this contentment instead of looking for something more. And so, dear people of God, I want to actually share two scriptures for us this morning. The first one is coming from Song of David, and chapter 37 and verse 16. It says, better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. The songwriter is basically saying here that it is possible that if somebody is wicked, if somebody has power and use his or her power or their power in a negative way, they can become a rich. They can get plenty of resources. They can go after poor and collect money for themselves. And how often we have heard that, right? In America, we have seen that happening. We have seen that happening all over the world. But it is possible, dear people of God, that a weekend can be rich and wealthy. But compared to them, if there is a righteous person, person who is in right relationship with God and right relationship with others in the community, and if that person has less, according to God's calculation, according to God's viewpoint, this guy is richer than this person. Because when we study the lives, longer lives of these people, you will come to realize that even though this person might have had little for a long time, you will see their lives significantly flourish. You will see their children go beyond, and you will see how God has blessed them in a wonderful way. On the other side, the person who has collected wealth wickedly, their lives are miserable. You know, one of my favorite Netflix series is called Narcos. How many of you have seen that? It is about the cultured, the narcos business in Mexico, and how the drug business and the violence and all that. And some of these people are actually richer than Bill Gates. They have not only billions of dollars, they have trillions of dollars. The only tragedy with them is that they have to constantly worry about their life. They constantly move here and there, making sure that their enemies would not find out where they are. They have to constantly move their families. Because with all this much money, all this wealth, they don't have peace. And so the first scripture is, according to God, you know, the righteous person, even though that person might be poor, is significantly wealthier compared to the rich person who is wicked. The second scripture I want to share is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. And here Saint Paul is writing, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. Saint Paul is saying that, you know, I'm thankful for what God has given to me, and thank you for the gift you sent me. But I also want to let you know that I have learned to be content. The first thing I want to share with you, dear people of God, that contentment can be learned. Amen? In other words, some people happen to be content all the time. They don't worry. They don't, you know, do anything. But some people like me and many of us, we have to learn. It is a discipline we can actually practice and eventually work on, and we can get better at it. To be a satisfied person, to be happy, to rejoice in what God has given to us. So it can be learned. The first thing in learning is, do not compare yourself with somebody else. Do not compare yourself with somebody else. How many of us struggle with this idea? I do all the time. Well, look at that house, is big and beautiful. Or look at that car, is the best car ever. Or look at that person, looks very handsome and beautiful. Or look at that person, isn't fat at all. Right? There is a constant comparison we do. And so the first thing, dear people of God, let us not compare ourselves with anybody else. But instead of that, Let us express our thanksgiving and gratitude. It's almost 2 years ago, at our home with Eva and Sonia, every evening we do this practice. Five things you're grateful today. Every day, and like when I'm not there, they would call me like, Dad, I did five things grateful today in my mind today. In other words, it is an idea where we come together every evening and remember the good thing is happening to us. And out of five things, usually four things are the same every day. Like, oh, I thank God for my family. I thank God for good food. I thank God for the dance. And I thank God for my friends. So these are like four things are same. Usually one day when we do something else, like when we go to San Francisco, that might be extra item. Like, oh, I thank God because we went to San Francisco. But what it tells, dear people of God, there is a constant reminder to them and to us as a family and as a parents that let us be grateful for the things God has done for us. Because there are people out there, they constantly struggle. They don't have a place to sleep, and thank God we have a place to sleep. Thank God we have a house to live in. Thank God that we live in the country where we have freedom to come to church and worship God. Thank God in the country where we can put anything on Facebook, and I'm sure government is not going to come after you, at least for the next 10 years, I guess. It is a privilege. And the last thing we can do, dear people of God, is enjoy what God has given to us. There are times when I bought things, and when I come home, and when I open my closet, guess what? I have exactly the same shirt I bought 6 months ago. The only thing, I never wore it. And so I think like, well, I really need this shirt. Oh, I cannot live without this shirt. Well, I already have it at home. The only thing, I haven't used it. There's an interesting scripture about David. And it says that David found this beautiful woman. You know, there was this husband and wife. Husband died, and this wife was beautiful, and David wanted to marry her. And the scripture says she was beautiful, she was smart, and she was diligent, she was hardworking. In other words, she was a perfect wife. And David married, and the interesting part is, and right after that, it says, and David also married many other women. David got the person whom he thought would be the perfect person for his life. But instead of spending time with her, instead of having a wonderful fellowship with her, he's actually going after something else. God has blessed us so much, dear people of God. And many a times, like me, instead of enjoying what I have, we go after something else. Instead of enjoying, like David, what he had, going after something else. Let us enjoy what God has already given to us. Search your life, search your heart, and see how many blessings God has given to you. And even you haven't touched those blessings. The people God gave it in your life, and you haven't reached out to those friends and family members. The book you bought, when you bought it, like, whoa, this is going to change my life. This is the book I need to have it in my life. And you haven't, or when I say you, we haven't opened that book. The scripture, a wonderful blessing of God. Bible. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. That's what scripture says. In other words, as I walk and live in this life, God, you're going to help me to navigate this life. And we haven't touched it for a long time. And so we have to go online to find a simple, amazing statement like, whoa, whoa, this is amazing, like this has changed my life. Dude, it's right there in the Bible. We just haven't opened it. And so, dear people of God, to be content person is to be the person who enjoys the blessing God has given to us. And as you search your life, as you search your closet, as you search your inventory, you realize, wow, there's a wealth. There's a wealth for us. I'm sure that we constantly need to buy food and all that. But there are things God has already blessed us with. And so I pray that as you go this week, you would search your heart, you will search your closet, you will search your Facebook, you will search your phone contacts and realize where is the wealth in that and which I have not used it. And ask God that, God, help me to use the wealth you have already given to me, because I know that if I need more on this, if I need more friends, I know you will give me. If I need more wisdom, I know you will give it to me from the scripture. If I need to somebody talk to me, there are people out there in the church and out there who are ready to help spend time with me. If I need to find food, if I can just walk in this near mall, there are, I think, more than 20 different types of Chinese restaurants. Do you know that? Like, you don't have to go to China to eat Chinese food. I think we have more Chinese food here than in China. So what I'm thinking, there's a wealth God has given to us. Let us use it. Let us open it. Let us experience it. Let us close our eyes and pray. God, we thank you so much for the wealth and the blessings you've given to us. Help us to be content in the life you have given to us. Help us to rejoice and use the blessings you have given to us. Help us to serve it with other people, because there are people out there, they need more in their life. They need more friends. They need more wisdom. They need more companions. They need somebody to talk to. They need food to eat. They need clothes to wear. And we have plenty. Help us to share. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.